you guys hear that? It's like all official and real.
We're an actual real human podcast now.
We used like instruments and stuff. Kind of.
There we go.
Legit.
Nice.
Welcome back to People Seek Meeple, the board game problem solvers.
We're back.
And so are you.
Did you miss us?
We missed you.
We really did. According to the website that we use, we had a dozen listeners to our last episode of season one.
Yeah, which is good, but could be better because it was actually a really cool interview.
It really was.
So check that one out if you've missed it.
Yeah, it's worth a crack.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you, Shalene?
I'm so good. How are you?
Pretty great. Kind of warm.
Yes, it's very warm here because we're in New Zealand.
Yes, it is November and...
Summer.
And
you guys,
summer.
It's summer.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It needs to be summer.
It's so regular and normal.
In the winter. They're selling... We saw Christmas trees on the way here.
Yeah.
They're selling Christmas trees and they don't smell anything like Christmas and it's hot outside.
Yep. And there's no snow.
This is going to be a weird Christmas.
I mean, for me, it's not going to be a weird Christmas. But for our resident Canadian, yes. Yes, it will be. Beginning season two, we are going to be recording in this magnificent establishment in Wellington City called Counterculture, which is Wellington's premium board game cafe experience. I don't think that's actually what they call themselves, but in my opinion, they're pretty great.
It's very nice here. There's a very good selection and lovely staff to help you along with your choices of games and learning the rules.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, just behind us, you can hear a staff member recommending a game to someone.
It's perfect.
That is perfect.
So the way that this works, you send us questions like, my mother only has ever liked playing Scrabble, but I really want to try something new. What should we play? And we recommend some games to you to fill that void in your life.
Or your mother's life.
Or your mother's life. If we don't answer your question on the podcast, we will email you some recommendations. And if we've already answered a really similar question, we'll probably refer you to that episode.
Shall we answer some questions?
Let's do it!
All right. Question one is from Reddit user Bookworm0824. He says, hi all, hoping you can recommend something for my family to play on Christmas Day after dinner. And we've been given an extensive list of things that they are into or after, which is so useful. First of all, number of players, 8. They want to take about an hour, nothing over 2 hours. They have 4 experienced gamers and 4 inexperienced gamers, which is a tricky mix sometimes. They're open to suggestions in terms of genre, either cooperative or competitive. They own like Telestrations, Codenames, Cards Against Humanity, Camelot, King of Tokyo, Zero, you know, that kind of stuff. Mainly looking for something where everyone can be included. Now, there is lots of fun and laughter and talking, but nothing too skilled that people who aren't big gamers feel left out. Ideally hoping for a game that we can just pull out and start playing without needing to go over too many in-depth rules. Instructions need to be straightforward and explained within a few minutes. Now we put our heads together and came out with, I think, some pretty good answers.
You will laugh.
You will smile.
You will chat and enjoy yourselves.
You will feel like a better family at the end of the day.
This will solve all of your problems. Shall I go first?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, well, I thought you guys might enjoy Trap Words. It's very possible that we've spoken about this game on our podcast before, but it merits another round of discussion. It's quite a good game. It's by Czech Games Edition, designed by Jan Brezina. That's a very westernized pronunciation of what I'm sure is a very elegant name in Czech. I'm very sorry for that. And Jan or Juan or Jan had 2 other designers on that team with him or her. So, Trap Words is a game played in teams. So the way that it works is you have to get your team to guess the word on your card, but you can't say certain words. And the kicker is that you don't know what words you can't say because the other team has come up with them, but they haven't shown you yet. So you might be trying to describe a dog, and you might say, it wags its tail, and they'll buzz you because they'd written down tail.
It is a lot of fun. You tend to overthink everything, and you don't want to say simple words because you know the other team has probably written down simple words, but the other team probably knows that you're not going to try and say simple words, so they're going to write down complicated words, which means maybe you can write simple words. There's a lot of doublethink involved.
Yeah, every once in a while it's good to write the simple words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing that I think is a bit strange is the theme. is like very epic fantasy for a word game. It's still a really good game and a lot of fun, and I don't think it's going to turn your family away from it.
No, and it doesn't really complicate things too much. It just determines the number of rounds you play and how hard you make it on each other.
Trap Words.
Trap Words.
It's a very fun game. I like it a lot. We own it. We saw it at Essen and bought it immediately. I think that's where we talked about it.
Probably.
Yeah, when we did our like rapid fire game speak thing.
Cool.
Yeah. So my suggestion was a little game called Anomia. It is published by Anomia Press and designed by Andrew Innes. One of those two. Anomia is essentially just like a television game show in a box. It is fantastic. You've got one single deck of cards with a bunch of things on them, like
brands of shoes,
shoe brand,
politicians,
country,
colors,
board game,
basically different categories of things.
And then on that card is also a symbol, and there are like five or six different symbols that exist, and you're each going to take turns flipping a card over face up in front of you, and if two people have the same symbol, you have to shout out a thing that is on their card before they shout out a thing that is on your card. It's great in a family setting, lots of yelling, lots of paying attention, but also not really having to pay too much attention, lots of laughter, and if you're in a family that likes to get competitive, I think this is a very funny game, and overall a good time.
If you take it seriously, you'll have a lot of fun.
It's true, though. If you don't take it seriously, you're also going to have a lot of fun. It's so easy to pick up, and there's no, like, discrepancy between, like, hardcore gamers and people that maybe have played Catan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. Very fun.
And that was the answer to question one, which was Anomia and Trap Words.
Question two. Shamgar65 asks, hello, looking for ideas for my wife for Christmas. A few of her favorites are Patchwork, Sushi Go, Hanabi, Catan, and Ticket to Ride. I've never played Ticket to Ride Rails and Sails, but she says that one is much better than the regular version, but it's very expensive. She played it at the board game cafe. It can be a two-player game, but up to 4 to 6 would be nice as well. We like to play with that number of people quite often. The games that we have come up with for you are... good. I'd like to recommend to you Railroad Inc., which I think we've also mentioned on the podcast.
On a rapid fire game talk thing at Essen. Yep.
Yes, we also saw it at Essen. It is designed by Helmar Huck and Lorenzo Silva and published by Horrible Games, which is probably the best publishing company name ever.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Railroad Inc. is a roll and write unlike any other. The dice have either road pieces or rail pieces, and you connect them up to other road pieces or rail pieces that are on your board. So one person rolls the dice, and everybody uses all of those dice on their own little design pad. You're trying to create long rails and long roads, but mainly you're trying to connect up as many stations as possible.
It's basically a city planner's nightmare. Imagine if you had to build an entire city, and someone just came up to you and gave you, like, only roads that turned to the right, and you had to make something out of that.
Yeah, that has happened.
Yes, yeah. But, you know, it's the way that dice work.
So it's good, fun, lots of ways to get points, and multiple expansions if you really love it. And it plays up to 6, I believe. Yeah.
If you get both the versions, it can play up to 12, which I don't think I'll ever see anyone do, but I want to make it happen someday.
It's not going to slow down gameplay at all. You just play a set number of rounds, and everybody just uses the dice that are there. Not turn-based.
If you want something a wee bit more thinky, but not so aggressively thinky, I would recommend Century Spice Road, which is designed by Emerson Matasuchi and published by Plan B Games. It is an engine builder kind of along the lines of Splendor. You have cubes and you play cards to get more cubes, or you play cards to turn your cubes into better versions of those cubes, and you use those cubes to get points. It is very straightforward. It has 2 pages worth of rules, but I think a lot of game can go in there. And in the games that you mentioned, you didn't really mention any engine builders, so I thought this might be a good way to start. Additionally, and something that makes this game kind of exciting, is that there are 2 other games that are published after this, which are kind of sequels that utilize different mechanics that you can then combine with the previous games that you've purchased. So to start off with, you're playing cards to get cubes, but in the second game, there's this entire board element where you are putting people down in certain places, and it suddenly turns into this kind of territory-esque Euro-style game. So if you really enjoy the first one, you can get the second one, and then you can mix those two together to make a whole other game, or you can get all three and make a whole other crazy super game.
And in that way, it will just get complicated bit by bit as you pick up new pieces to the game.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that is Century Spice Road and Railroad Inc. And now it's time for What We Played Today.
Which is probably the main reason people listen to this podcast. We talk about games that we have played.
It's great.
Yeah.
We played Ethnos.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's simple, but with the different factions that are available, it can change the gameplay significantly.
Yeah, the theme is kind of weird for the kind of game that it is. It doesn't seem that appealing, it's very gray. But gameplay-wise, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it really clips along. You draw a card or you play cards, that's it. Not too many decisions to be made, and you can get kind of as strategic as you want to get.
Yeah, there are multiple ways to get points. It is mostly a territory control game, but building large bands of things are also going to get you points. I guess we can do a little talk about how you actually play the game. You start the game by choosing 6 of the 12 random, well, you randomly choose 6 of the 12 races that you will play with the entire game, and that kind of changes the various powers and stuff you can have. And you either have to collect up a lot of the same race of card or a lot of the same color of card, and then use those cards to put dudes down on a map.
Yeah, you don't need a lot at first. You only need one card to put down your first faction. After that, if you want to put another band into the same area, then you need two cards, and so on.
But you get more points by playing larger bands. So sometimes you want to hold off and put down a whole bunch of cards, even though it only lets you put down one thing. I think the most fun mechanic in this game is that as soon as you play a band, it doesn't matter how big the band is, you have to discard the remainder of your entire hand to this shared pool in the middle where people can choose to draw from. So you have to be careful about the cards that you're drawing, but also, eventually, you're going to have to start drawing cards randomly.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a lot of fun. And that is Ethnos by Paolo Mori, published by Cool Money or Not and Spaghetti Western Games.
Nice. We also played The Godfather, which I didn't have a huge desire to play due to my dislike of guns and gangster culture.
Just general violence.
Yeah, but it doesn't have a high reliance on that. And again, it's a bit more of a territory control sort of thing with a lot of other factors kind of sprinkled in.
Yeah, it's like a worker placement territory control kind of thing that has a really big box. It is super intimidating to look at, but gameplay-wise, it's really straightforward.
Yeah, the goal of the game is to get a bunch of money in your suitcase by the end of it. And there are lots of little side jobs that you can complete along the way by collecting things like tomato sauce money and toy guns.
And medicine.
And medicine. AKA actual guns, blood money, and
narcotics.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing I love about this game is how easy it is to teach. I think maybe 15 minutes of explaining rules to people that have played board games before, and you're good to go.
My personal favorite part about it is that you can put one of your family members on a space and get to do a bunch of things all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I like games when you get to do a bunch of things all at once.
Yes. It's a good time. I think maybe kind of prohibitively expensive for what it is, but you are also paying for, like, really exciting minis, but I don't care a lot about minis.
And nice suitcases.
And nice suitcases, yeah.
The pieces are all quite nice.
Yeah, yeah. Components-wise, super good, but I don't think it needed to be. But also, that's what sells games. So, there we go. And that is
The Godfather, Corleone's Empire.
By Eric M. Lang, and published by Cool Mini or Not. Again, look at us go.
I think my dad might like this one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll try it when he's here. And that's what we played today.
Yay! And now for our third question by Zor Malice. What asymmetrical games are good? To be more specific, I'm looking for games like Venus Needs Men, where each player chooses a team that is distinct from the others. In Venus Needs Men, each 1950s-style alien race has a variety of special powers, different defenses, and weapons on their spaceships, etc. What other really cool games have this feature? Well, Mr. Malice, I have for you another spacey alien type game that I've only played recently and have absolutely and completely fallen in love with, and I'm so excited to play it again. I've only played it twice, and I want to play it about 100 more times, and this game is called Sidereal Confluence by Tau Ceti Dyckman, published by WizKids. This is a game of trade, just pure, unadulterated, free market, crazy trade, where everyone plays a different alien race that produces different alien goods, and you use those alien goods to trade with other aliens to get all kinds of goodies. And oh my god, do each of these races play so spectacularly differently. I've played it twice so far, and both times I've had to, the first time I played as one of the most complicated races because they looked the coolest, and that was a really bad idea. Don't do that. But the second time I played as a slightly less complicated race and had a wonderful time. You can have players that are trying to let other people use their technology in exchange for a bunch of good stuff because they can't use their own technology, so they have to trade it. You have races that are essentially just strong-arming other people. They're like the mafia of space, and it's suggested that new players don't play as them because they're really mean, and they're the only really mean race. We did have a new player play as them, and they were a jerk, so it played really well and was a lot of fun. Yeah, what do you think?
It's not the kind of game that I generally jump at the opportunity to play, but I have enjoyed it both the times that I've played. So I think it's a lovely, good game.
I would play it, 100 more times. I am so excited to play it again at some stage. That is Sidereal Confluence, Trading in the Elysian Quadrant, I believe is the full name, by Tau Ceti Dyckman. What do you got for us?
I was thinking you might enjoy The Captain is Dead. Dun dun dun. You have to say it that way every time. The Captain is Dead, dun dun dun, is also like an alien sort of space kind of fighter game. Those words were not in the right order. Anyway, you are on a spaceship and your captain has just died.
Dun dun dun.
Thank you. You have to keep the ship alive and repair the jump drive? Warp drive? Before the aliens completely take you over. Each turn, like after each player's turn, just like in Pandemic or any of those sort of, oh, this is a cooperative game, did I mention? After each player's turn, more bad things happen that you have to mitigate and take care of and somehow get that warp drive back up to full speed before your ship is completely destroyed.
Yeah. This is a co-op game that plays up to 7 people, which I think is nuts. And everyone has a very distinct role. You won't have the scientist running up to the bridge and repairing shields or anything like that. I find they all play in a nice variety of ways.
And depending on what combination of characters you get, you may be more or less likely to achieve your goal.
Mostly less likely.
Mostly less likely.
That's a game we have not won yet.
Yes, it's very hard. So if you like playing against the game, highly recommend The Captain is Dead. Dun dun dun. Published by AEG and designed by JT Smith and Joe Price. And that's our show, ladies and gentlemen.
We did it.
So good to be back.
It is good to be back.
You can expect this in your feed on a bi-weekly basis for the moment. We're possibly going to kick it up a notch a little bit later, but for now, I think twice a month is about what we'll be able to confidently and continuously do.
Yes.
So thanks for sticking with us through our travels and through our settlement into a new country.
Yeah, thanks for joining us in our rougher patch. And now we're going to be all professional and amazing. And all of the board game companies are going to come to us and say, hey, be our official sponsor. Here is an entire bag of money.
They're giving us money to sponsor them?
Yeah. That's the board game industry is just a weird place.
So we don't have the business side figured out yet, but we're pretty good with the games.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Bye.